Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
John Davis sitting in for Zach Bye with my man Brandon Stokely today. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everybody. What a championship weekend it was. Stokely, if anybody was on Twitter yesterday, we saw it. Stokely, the call. Saints-Rams, the call.
Yeah. Well, first off, both my teams lost. That hurt. And then the call, you look at it, and you look at the situation, and I'm all for letting guys play. Don't take over the game, referee. You know, keep your flag in the pocket, especially late in games if it is a close call. But as obvious as that call was, and to not throw the flag there, you cost the Saints a Super Bowl.
Wow, it's that big.
That's what happened. I mean, they run the clock down and kick a chip shot field goal down unless the guy misses it or they get blocked. I mean, the Saints are going to the Super Bowl on a call that was as obvious as it gets in the NFL. I mean, you can't just run through the guy and take his head off when the ball's still in the air.
Yeah, it looked to me like he didn't even try to follow the rules on that play. What's the Rams player that just, he totally decked him, but
Roby Nichol.
Roby Coleman. Thank you, Steve. It was, but to me, I don't know. The previous drive, Jared Goff is running the ball down inside the five. Saints player rips his face mask. No call. If they call that, the Rams get a fresh set of downs inside the five.
I didn't think he ripped his face mask. I mean, he kind of grazed it.
He broke the rules.
He kind of grazed it. But, you know, that wasn't as obvious as this
one. It was less egregious.
You know? And you just look at that call and the situation on third down. And look, the Saints didn't help themselves. Sean Payton could have done a better job coaching. They could have done a better job executing. They had a 13-0 lead. They let him get a fake punt, which, you know, the Rams love doing fake punts.
Yeah.
They had a 20-10 lead, I believe, and they couldn't finish them off. So in the end, it wasn't all on that one call, but it was.
Yeah.
But it was. And it was an obvious call. The guy just ran right through the receiver when the ball was in the air and just cleaned him out. I mean, it didn't look back for the ball or anything, and it was an obvious pass interference call that should have been called, and if it was called, the Saints win. So,
you could have even called targeting on it almost, I thought.
Like defenseless receiver. You could have called
multiple
a lot of
penalties.
Different things, but it was obvious it was a pass interference call. And I like how I've been watching these games, and for the most part, it's been a different style of football that the referees are calling, and I like it. Like, let the guys play. Let them decide the football game. Don't throw flags to just throw flags. So I've liked what I've seen in the playoffs, but that was one that you just have to throw the flag in that situation.
So the Saints fans are right to feel they got robbed yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
A thousand percent.
I mean, that was a trip to the Super Bowl. You're going to get it down there. You're going to be able to run the clock down and kick a chip shot field goal. I mean, you're talking about a 20-yard field goal or a 25-yard field goal to go to the Super Bowl. But they also have to look at themselves and realize that they had a 13-0 lead, 20-10 lead. They had chances at the end of the game to put them away, and they didn't do it. And guess what? They had the ball first in overtime and didn't get it done. So, you know, they did have their opportunities. But that one call, it was so obvious. That's why it frustrated me more than anything. That call was like, you have to make that call. You just have to.
Yeah, it looked like the guy knew the guy was going to catch it, so he purposely did an all-out penalty to just prevent him from catching the ball.
Yeah, or he was just trying to time it up. He had no clue where the ball was. He knew it was in the air, and he was just trying to time it up to where when the guy was going to be catching it, he was going to be hitting him at the same time.
Yeah, it reminded me of Monday night with the Broncos and Chiefs, where if Case Keenum hits DT, we win the game, end of story. You can't look back on anything else in the game because you absolutely know the game is over if Keenum hits Demaryius. And if the ref makes that call, you do. You know that game's over. Chip shot, field goal in a dome.
Right.
They're walking away with it. It was when Breeze threw that pick in overtime, Stoke, it reminded me of the Baltimore game when Peyton got picked off.
Oh, thanks.
It reminded me of that.
Thanks for bringing that up.
So, Stoke, it
appreciate
was
it.
With the rules.
Where's Zach?
I was freezing that game. Oh, so
yeah,
bad.
I was too. It was freezing. I was too, and especially the way it ended made it even more colder.
Yeah, and Chiefs fans went through that yesterday. But with the with the so a lot of people want pass interference to be reviewable. But do you think this is something that they could put into the rules?
Man, it's so tough because if you start reviewing pass interference calls, you can always say, well, look, he grabbed him right there. You see him kind of grab his arm right there a little bit. Right? But when you're going full speed, that's really nothing. So you can always look at a play and say, oh, that could have been pass interference on almost any play.
That's
on almost
problem,
any play, you can look at it and justify calling pass interference on a pass play. So I don't want to go down that road because I think it just opens up so many different things. Let them determine it on the football field. They just got to do a little bit better. And it was one call, and obviously a big call. But I think for the most part, they've done a really good job. I thought the call against the Patriots, pass interference on them against Sammy Watkins late in that game when they had pass interference and roughing the passer against them was a bad pass interference call. I mean, that was an awful call.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness, he was just running with a guy, and you decide to throw a flag on that play. But if you did review it, you could say, oh, okay, I see how it could be pass interference, and you would probably uphold it because he was doing a little hand fighting with him. But you've been calling it a certain way, and you shouldn't have thrown the flag in that situation.
Yeah, I think if they did the rules, you wouldn't have been able to review yesterday's pass interference because it was a no call.
Like, well, can you challenge it? That's where you go.
Can you challenge it?
That's where you go as if you go down that road is, can a coach challenge it now? Could Sean Payton throw a flag? Or if it was under 2 minutes, is it automatically reviewable? So,
yeah.
But now you're going to be having, you know, how long does it extend these games for when you start going down that road reviewing penalties? So I don't know what the answer is. I think sometimes you just got to live with the call and just say, hey, it is what it is. They are human. They're going to make mistakes sometimes. And, you know, you just hope you're not on the wrong side of it. But when it's that egregious.
Yes.
It's like how, and you got two guys right there, you know, looking at it. How do they both miss it?
That's what I think. It's John Davis sitting in for Zach Bye with Stokely today. I think that's a problem. So maybe the change doesn't need to come so much in the rules, but how these guys are trained, maybe you need more people out there.
Maybe so.
Watching this.
Maybe so.
In a side job.
Maybe so. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't like to review pass interference calls, though. I don't like to review penalties because I think you can look at, and where do you draw the line? I think you can look at plays all the time and say, okay, yep. You can justify most calls, even though it was a bad call or a good call. You can justify bad calls.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like everybody hates the roughing the passer on Brady, but by the rules, he got hit in his head yesterday, and everybody was mad about that game in the Chiefs Patriots game. But if you go by the rules, it was pass interference. Stokely, early on, Rams Patriots.
Yeah.
Who are you leaning towards?
I'm not a believer in the Rams right now. I'm just not.
Not a believer.
No, no.
Why?
I don't know about Jared Goff. He just seems like he's not ready for the moment quite yet. And I think on this stage, you got to give the edge to the team that's been there and done that. And that's the Patriots. And they can do it multiple ways. You know, offensively, they can run the football. And their offensive line are so underappreciated. They don't get the recognition that they should get. I mean, do you see Tom Brady those last few drives? I mean, he's got a pocket.
It's clean.
And nobody's even close to him.
You could see him scan the field.
So you got to give that offensive line for the Patriots a lot of credit. But they got their hands full with Sue and Donald this week. So it should be, you know, Rams defense has got to play well. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to play well. I think it should be a good game, but I give an edge to the Patriots, unfortunately.
That's where I'm at, too. So what did yesterday's games tell us about the Broncos? That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
John Davis sitting in for Zach Bye today with Brandon Stokely. So Stokely, looking at yesterday's games, thinking about our Denver Broncos. The Broncos haven't beaten the Chiefs since week 2 of 2015, but the Patriots keep beating them. So, yeah, it was that fumble game on Thursday night, week 2.
Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles fumbled it, and Bradley Roby.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall knocked it out. That was a great. Peyton was nails on that last drive in that game. But what are the Patriots? Are the Patriots doing anything? Obviously, they have Brady that the Broncos can emulate and try to do to maybe start beating the Chiefs again.
Well, you got to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to have offensive firepower. And you have to be able to do it, you know, with the running game and the passing game. And that's the thing that you look at the Patriots now, especially in the playoffs, they're a balanced offensive football team. They can run the football. And obviously, they can throw the football with Tom Brady, and they can spread it around offensively. It's not just one or two guys. Who are you going to stop with the new when you play the Patriots? Is it going to be Gronk? Okay, well, we'll throw it to Edelman and White and Burkhead and Hogan. We'll even get a catch if we want him to. So they have a lot of options. They spread the football around, so it's hard to take one guy out of the game. And if you do, okay, we'll move on. We're fine. And they're a very balanced offensive football team. And obviously, you have to score touchdowns. Can't kick a lot of field goals. That's a recipe, but it's not easy. And they have, you know, Tom Brady playing quarterback. So it's a tough task if you look at beating the Kansas City Chiefs, especially in Kansas City. And it's something that we're going to have to deal with here for a lot of years.
A long time. I'm going to probably be legitimately, I turn 35 soon, I'm going to probably be 50 when Mahomes is done.
That makes it scary when you think of it that way. How long? I mean, the guy's really a rookie. Really a rookie this year. Second year, played one game his rookie season. So, I mean, play quarterback in the NFL now for 15 years. That's easy. Mm. That's nothing. So it's a scary thought when you think about Patrick Mahomes and the weapons that they have offensively. You know, they released one of the best running backs in the game in Kareem Hunt, and they didn't miss much of a beat.
They could have won.
There wasn't a drastic drop off from the release of Kareem Hunt. So they still have really good pieces there. When you look at the young pieces that they have around Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be tough to do, and especially where the Broncos are and how far they have to go.
Yeah, they're huge. One thing that I thought really helped, like that opening drive with the Patriots, how well they did keeping Mahomes just off the field. That seemed to be a huge thing, and converting third downs to allow that clock to expire, and the Broncos three and out, three and out, three and out.
Right. That's part of it. Staying on the football field, frustrating those guys offensively, and you saw what it did to the Chiefs. They just weren't able to get into rhythm early in the football game. And obviously in the second half, they got it going there, but that's another thing that you do against good offensive football teams. Control the clock, stay on the football field, convert third downs, try to frustrate them. Easier said than done. But you got to have a good offense to do it. You got to be multidimensional. And you look at the Patriots' offensive line and what they're able to do with the running game and the play-action game and protecting Tom Brady. So they have a very balanced attack right now.
Did you see anything out of the Patriots yesterday? It was interesting, and Belichick does this. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, non-factors yesterday. So is it kind of one of those Belichick seems to understand, like, they're going to beat us somehow, but they're not going to beat us here.
Right. And that's kind of their MO, right? They're going to try to take away your best player or best players. And, you know, whether it's doubling them, they're going to make somebody else beat them. And obviously it's harder to do when you're facing Kansas City because they got weapons all over the place. You know, yeah, those are their two main weapons, but Sammy Watkins is a pretty good player. Their running back is you know, had himself a nice game. Mm-hmm. So you look at the other weapons that they have, and obviously, you do. You look at if you're the Patriots and what they were able to do against Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and you say, okay, let's emulate that, let's copy that. It's easier. It's harder to do. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Okay. When you try to take away both of those guys and say, okay, we're going to double, because you can't double two guys.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. I mean, you're going to leave yourself vulnerable all over the place if you decide to double two guys. So you can do certain things to try to help yourself out, but you can't double both guys every time.
Yeah, the pressure they got on Mahomes seemed to kind of only be the only way to take that out of him, and he didn't seem to be expecting it. But the Broncos, so the Rams going to the Super Bowl, obviously. How do we feel about Scangarello being our offensive coordinator after seeing with Sean McVay? Sean McVay's taken this offense to the Super Bowl and had a great 2 years. Should we be excited about what we might be seeing?
Absolutely. You know, you look at where Rich Scangarello is coming from and who he's been around. And you talk about, you know, you look at Sean McVay, but just studying under Kyle Shanahan for me, has me optimistic and excited about where this offense can go. But this is the one thing, you know, having a great coach and a great offensive mind is great and awesome. But you got to have players. You got to have players. And I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. Great coaching helps. But, man, if you don't have great players, then, you know, it's going to be tough to be a consistent winner. And it's going to be tough to be a consistent offense. So there's still a need for an upgrade when it comes to the players on this roster. And so I think the coach, I'm excited about Rich and what he can do offensively and be more creative with this offense. But we got to continue to find playmakers offensively. And they did a great job in this draft. We know Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. I like that 1-2 punch, and everybody loved what Phillip Lindsay was doing this year. And I think it can even be better next year. Okay, I think this thing can go to the next level with Phillip Lindsay. And you look at Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, and I'm excited about the tight end group, and hopefully Jeff Heirman can stay healthy and maybe take a step forward. We'll see with him. I think he's a free agent.
Yeah, I could see them. I can see them keeping him.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. But Jake Butt, you know, is one that still intrigues me, but you're going to have to add more depth there, especially if you let Heirman walk. Don't know what his numbers are going to be in free agency. It shouldn't be too much. And I don't know how high they are on him. So they might be ready to turn the page on the Jeff Heirman experience. But there is some weapons there, but there needs to be some more.
Well, you do. You need the talent, because I think, look at McVay's talent. Look, if Shanahan has McVay's talent, is Shanahan coaching in the Super Bowl?
Right.
So it does have to do with the players. We'll have coverage from Radio Row in Atlanta next week, thanks to Twin Peaks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So Broncos country, we're obviously behind the Rams. But is one prominent Bronco going to be cheering for the Patriots? That's next. John Davis sitting in for Zach Bye. Stokely, this Super Bowl, it's pretty clear who Broncos country is going to be going for.
Yes. I mean,
look at it. We got Wade, Akeem, CJ.
Yeah, all in. Rams. Let's go.
Look, all right. In Rams. You were going to do that. You were going to cheer for them regardless.
Yeah,
they're going
regardless.
I think most people were. But how about this? There's a lot of, they run the Shanahan offense. There's just a lot of reasons for Broncos country to get behind. Kroenke owns them, owns the Nuggets and Avalanche in town. But what about John Elway? Who do you think John Elway is cheering for in this game? You know, because he let it keep go. He let Wade go famously.
Right.
Everybody's not happy about that.
Right.
And then CJ Anderson apparently is in the locker room yesterday saying, tell Elway I said, ha ha.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No.
I think it was Lindsey Jones tweeted it, I believe.
Wow.
He looked at and said, tell Elway, ha ha. So, John, who do you think John is cheering for?
I think if he's cheering for one team, he's probably cheering for, I would say he's probably cheering for the Rams. I would think he's cheering for the Rams and those guys. Because, look, Akeem, it was just time to go. You know, that's just the nature of the business. He was making a lot of money here. He wasn't going to be around after this year. You wanted to see Roby and see what he can do and see if you were going to end up paying him or not, right? I mean, that's just the evolution of the NFL. And that's the situation you were in with Tlaib. And you could tell on the way out that they really respected Tlaib. They gave him a choice of a couple different teams, right, when they were trading him. So I don't think there was any hard feelings there between John Elway and Akeem Tlaib. And so, look, and C.J. Anderson, same thing. Look, I mean, it was just time. You know, he wasn't getting it done at a high enough level here. You wanted to go younger at the running back position. And so it was just time. I mean, they paid him a lot of money.
They gave him a second. They brought him in. They gave him a second contract.
Yeah.
C.J.'s got a lot of reason to like the Broncos.
Sure. And if you want to have John Elway as a chip on your shoulder, then do it. Use that. You know, hey, he cut me. He didn't believe in me. And I think John would have, if you were saying C.J. Anderson for the minimum, he would have had him back. But at the price tag that he was at and the aging running back that, you know, didn't look like he was on the downside of his career, it's just time to move on. So I could understand, though, why C.J. wants to use that as fuel and put that on a chip on his shoulder that they didn't want me, they didn't believe in me. And, well, you can also throw the Carolina Panthers on there also.
And the Raiders.
They weren't using them. Yeah, the Raiders had them in there for like an hour. An hour. Sign your contract. never mind. We're just going in a different direction, C.J. Gotcha. So I think that if you're John Elway, I don't know how the Wade thing ended up here. That to me was probably the most bitter bitter breakup. I was going to try to use a big word there. Contentious.
Contentious is good.
That was the word I was going for, and I said, and then I just stopped myself because I didn't think I was going to be able to get it out.
Oh, yeah, you nailed it.
I stuck the landing on that one, so that felt good. But that one to me seems like that was the bigger deal of the three when it comes to how they went separate ways and what happened there and why did it happen. You got a great, great coach in Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator where all the players loved him and loved playing for him, and for some reason it didn't work out. Why? Mm-hmm. Why didn't it? Now, I don't think we ever have heard the answer, and we may never hear it. Was it money? Was it ego? Was it different philosophies heading in a different direction? I don't know, right? We don't know what happened there. Was it a mutual parting of the ways? Hey, I just feel like I'm maybe underpaid here or whatever. I'm just going to go find myself another job where I'm appreciated more. Don't know the situation of why it ended the way that it ended, but I think when you are looking at who John Elway might be pulling for, I think still he has a lot of respect for Tlaib and CJ and what they did here, and also Wade, even though we don't know how it ended. So I would think that he probably would be pulling for the Rams. And look, the NFL, you got to – your roster changes every year. You can't hold on to Tlaib for 20 years. You can't hold on to him for another 5 years. His career is on the downside. Okay, does he have another year or two good ball left? Maybe so. But it just wasn't going to be here. It was time to look at Roby. It was time to look at some other guys and use that money for other things. Same thing with CJ. So that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, and I love Tlaib, but what difference would it have made on the Broncos this year?
Right. Were they going to be a 7-win team? An 8-win team? They weren't going to the playoffs. And shoot, he got hurt and didn't play half the year over there with the Rams. So were they going to be a much better team with Tlaib? I don't think so. I think their record's probably the same. And if they did win another game or two, what would have mattered? It was probably best that we didn't win another game or two now that you're looking back, because now all of a sudden you're picking 15th instead of 10th or whatever it may be. So it worked out, and I don't think John is bitter towards those guys at all.
I think he's got too much to worry about within his own squad right now. And
absolutely,
with CJ, I think the running back room turned out fine.
It was
with
a big
the Broncos
upgrade,
this year.
Right?
Yeah,
wasn't it a big upgrade? I mean, you look at obviously Philip Lindsay, but you look at Royce Freeman, and you know, he got banged up there, but what he provides, and on top of that, you look at Booker. You know, I was pleasantly surprised by what we saw from Devontae Booker this year. He was a positive. He wasn't a guy you looked at and said, we didn't need him on the roster. He actually made plays for this team and contributed in situations that you needed him to step up in. So you look at the running back room as a whole, it was a big upgrade from what it was the year before.
Yeah, and with CJ too, John letting him go 1,000 yards, John can sit back and go, I found that guy.
Right.
That literally, it looked like they benched Todd Gurley for yesterday.
I don't know what's going on there. So confused because it was in the fourth quarter, and I don't know who said it. One of the announcers said it, that Todd Gurley had three plays in the second half.
It's crazy.
Don't know what's going on. I know they were resting him there at the end of the year. Not sure if it was a knee or what. Haven't seen any reports out on why it's going the way it's going. But you're talking about one of the best top two or three running backs in the league, and now all of a sudden the other guy's playing more than him.
The guy that wasn't even on the roster
a month and a half ago. It's crazy. It's crazy. So just not sure. I'm sure they have a plan in place to spell him a little bit, not overuse him. And because if it is his knee that he's dealing with, you know, he's had the knee injury in college, and so you want to be careful with it. But at the same time, it's alarming. It's shocking that he only had three plays early fourth quarter.
Well, and they could have used him in these quick bang bang plays, especially with how Goff was having trouble.
Right.
It was really puzzling, but luckily they got CJ, the guy Elway discovered. With Wade, though, you said, I think you're right. It felt the most personal of the separations between when I think the defenses were a lot of Broncos fans, and Derek Wolfe even referenced it, where we have seen the biggest impact of a departure, player or coach, in the past few years.
And we really don't know why.
Right.
Why did it end the way that it ended? It shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. If you got a great defensive coach, it seems like you would want to keep that guy around. So what happened there? Obviously something happened. Just don't know. I mean, you can speculate on what it was. Just don't quite know exactly what it was. You know, was it money? Was it ego? Was it Joe Woods? You know, was it the situation like they had with the Raiders and that you see around the NFL where they got this young coach that they think is going to be gone? Oh, well, we got to fire Bill Musgrave and move on to this young guy. It didn't work out well for him there in Oakland because Jack Del Rio ended up getting fired. And you look at the situation here. Okay, well, we got Joe Woods. He's going to be a hot up-and-coming defensive coordinator. We don't want to get him snatched up by another team. We want to keep him here, so we got to promote him to defensive coordinator. Sorry, Wade. And the transition just doesn't work out as well as you thought. I think it was probably a combination of probably all three things.
And
honestly.
Then money. And then I think.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Money, yeah. Ego, and Joe Woods.
All of it.
All of them. Throw them in a hat, mix it up, blend it up. And I think that's why Wade Phillips is no longer here.
And maybe John has learned his lesson because they shelled out quite a bit of money for a position coach this year with Mike Munchak. So maybe he's learning you can't just plug these guys in.
Absolutely. I think John knows how big a deal coaching, especially when it comes to the coordinator positions. Or if you're looking at the offensive line and trying to build an offensive line, it's a hard thing to do. Coaching is a huge, huge part of that. And if you can find a good one, you're going to have to pay for it. So, and that's what they did for Mike Munchak, and I think it was a good hire. It was a good move because playing offensive line in today's NFL is a hard thing to do. It's hard to find good ones. And so if you can find a coach that can make average ones better, and below average ones good and make all your offensive line play better as a whole, then you know what? You go get that guy, and that's what they did with Mike Munchak.
You do, and with Wade leaving, I want to know what you think about this. What would the Broncos have looked like last year, getting blown out all over the place? But this year, does Wade actually make that big? You look at the Jets game. Do we get beat like that with Wade Phillips? So as opposed to the players, do you think there's actually an amount of wins and a difference in the quality of the team we can put if Wade Phillips is here the last 2 years?
I do. Yeah. I think there's a difference in the win-loss record. I don't know if it's one game, two games, five. You know, I don't know, you know, how many wins he would account for, but I certainly think it would be a different football team. It would have been a different defensive football team, and it would have meant more wins if you would have had him here. So, look, coaching isn't the end-all, be-all. You got to have players, but at the same time, you need good coaching. And if you got good coaching, it goes a long way.
And that's the one that I think, and fans loved all these guys, but seeing Wade leave. So does John, outside looking in, a lot of the media, you saw when Vance goes, it's kind of a hot thing to blame John Elway for everything that's gone bad in Denver, for VJ and everything like that. Does John...
Well, a lot of it is deserved. And some of it's not. You know, who hired VJ? It was John. So if it goes wrong, you know, if you're the one on top, if you're the one making these hirings, then you know what? You're going to be the one that gets criticized because of it. That's just the position that you're in.
Does he look bad to the outside world right now with CJ, with Aqib, and Wade, three major contributors to his Super Bowl run, his success? He apparently gets no credit for bringing him to Denver and helping him win a Super Bowl. But does he look bad by letting them all walk?
No. It's the NFL. You know, you look at teams and you got to move on from players at some point. And you'd rather do it a year early than a year late. And you got a good deal for Tlaib. You got to send him to a place that he wanted. And so, look, I mean, that's just what had to be done. You had to take a look at Bradley Roby. You had to upgrade the running back room. And that's just the nature of the NFL, right? You got to turn your roster over every now and then. You got to let go of some good players. You can't keep everybody. So I think the NFL doesn't look at it and say, oh, John, man, he messed that up.
Yeah, he's not looking like it. And I don't know, a lot of people, would he be cheering? Is he cheering actively against the Rams just for personal? I don't think the perception of John changes. Like, if the Rams go lose, nobody's going to be like, man, Elway was so smart to get rid of those guys.
No, yeah, it doesn't change anything, you know, when it comes to looking at John and letting those guys go and trading them. I don't think it does anything. The Wade Phillips one is the one that the players, look, they come and go. You got to move on from. But the Wade Phillips situation, because there is no salary cap. What happened there? That's the one. That's the hang up with me with John and what happened with Wade Phillips.
Yeah, there's no dead money. There's no salary cap.
You can still coach at a high level when you get older. You know, there's no injury concerns with Wade Phillips, although I think he did go down.
He did.
The Chargers game. Okay, Falcons.
Or was it the, yeah. We lost all our coaches.
Right, yeah, so
like
he did go down. But overall, there's no injury concerns when it comes to coaches, right? You can still coach at a high level when you're old. So that one, to me, is the one that you look at and say, what happened there? And you could point the finger at John and say, you really messed that one up.
And is there any
so maybe if him and Wade had a falling out, maybe he's looking at that situation to say, forget Wade.
Yeah.
I hope Brady puts 50 on him.
He might. It's, you know, what was funny this year is Joe Woods played the Rams, or Joe Woods played the Chiefs better than Wade Phillips did.
That's right.
Joe Woods' defense played, and he played the Rams. Joe Woods wasn't as bad this year as I thought everybody thought he was. But with John Elway, a big thing that I have with this is, you know, he's let these guys go. Do you think he's learning from mistakes? And does this help him put some of the mistakes in front of his face?
I think he is. You know, when you look and you heard him at the end of the season, I think he realized that, you know, the way he went about the coaching search was the wrong way, and he admitted it, right? He said it to Peter King. Look, I went in with a closed mind, and VJ was my guy, and before we even interviewed anybody. And so I think he was a lot more open this year in the coaching search. And I think the way that he's approached the draft, he's learned from those mistakes. Now we'll see again if he can back that up, the type of players that he wants to bring in. You know, maybe not the most talented guys, but you want football guys. You know, the year before they drafted talented guys, Carlos Henderson, Isaiah McKenzie, but they weren't football guys. And you drafted Paxton Lynch, but he wasn't a football guy. So I think his approach on the draft has changed. So I think John has looked at himself and looked at his mistakes and has tried to do better because of those mistakes. So I think he has looked at the things that he has done wrong and has learned from them.
And with CJ and Akeem going kind of back to that, I don't think there's anybody on this roster right now that he's going to look at and be like, oh, this reminds me of Akeem and I let Akeem go. I should hang on to this guy.
You didn't either, you know, I mean, CJ also, you know, if he can also look at the Carolina Panthers and look at, you know, being released from there and Oakland Raiders if he wants, you know, motivation. But I think sometimes for a player, if you've been in an organization for, you know, 5-6 years, like CJ was here, I think 6 years maybe, it's good. Change is good. And obviously it didn't work out for him in Carolina. He's doing good with the Rams, but he can look back and say, I appreciate them releasing me. I appreciate them.
You're right.
Because it's re-energized me. It's made me realize that, you know, football isn't going to be forever. And so hopefully he has a great situation now. And with L.A., that he could be, you know, the 1-2 punch with Todd Gurley for the next handful of years. And that's a good thing for him. Would he have done that here? I don't think so. I think he would look like CJ of last year. And I didn't want that anymore. So I think his situation here, it was time. And he can go in somewhere else and do well with it. But and then you look at the key look. It wasn't like John traded a guy in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the downside of his career, making a lot of money. And you got, what, a third rounder for him?
I think they got, what was it? No, I think it was a fourth or a fifth, actually. You got something for him.
You had to see Roby, right? What are you going to make Roby the third, the cornerback again and going into his free agent year and not really know if you wanted to pay him or not? You couldn't do that. So there was a lot of different reasons, and I don't think John is regretting any of those decisions.
And CJ, you know, CJ, yeah, like, it's tell Elway, huh? I don't think, would you rather be here right now?
Right.
CJ,
right. I mean, be happy you're in that situation. I mean, maybe tell Elway thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably would have been better. But, you know, hey.
Yeah, tell Elway I said thank you. Is that, you left a couple teams. Did you have that chip on your shoulder?
Sure I did. Yeah. I left Baltimore, and they didn't really make much of an effort at all to sign me.
That was after your rookie deal, right?
Yeah. But then again, I was, you know, dealing with a Liz Frank surgery, so I was on crutches. I left Indy, and so they released me there. So, yeah, I had a chip on my shoulder leaving Indy. But Then again, I was in a boot and recovered from Achilles surgery. Yeah. So as you can see, there's a theme there with me. I leave places when I'm hurt. So that's not when you want to be going into free agency. But, yeah, I used that for motivation. It was good. I look back, and although I wanted to stay in Baltimore, it was best for me that they didn't re-sign me. I got to go to the Indianapolis Colts and play with Peyton Manning on these great offenses and win another Super Bowl. Did I want to stay with the Colts? You're darn right I did. I loved it there. Both my kids were born there. We loved that city. But I look back now, if they would have kept me there, I wouldn't have been here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be driving all Broncos country crazy on the radio
every day.
I mean, come on.
And you got to come back to Denver, too. We got you two different times. We loved it.
Right. So I wouldn't have been here. And then, you know, now this is where I live. But at the time, no, I didn't want to leave. But I look back and say it was best for me. And it was best for my career. Like, after a certain time, sometimes places can get, I don't want to say stale, but just you get into a routine and just, like, go through the motions mm-hmm. a little bit. But then, you know, you leave a place, you go to a new place, and you're like, okay, it's all new again. And so you get re-energized. And that's what happened to me. And so every spot along the way, I never wanted to leave. Why don't you want to leave? Because you're comfortable. Especially if you've been in a place like CJ was here for 6 years.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, because I think he did 2 years under that contract, right?
Yeah.
But he was around 6 years or whatever.
Yeah, he was here a while.
So you don't want to leave. But at the same time, it's because it's comfortable. But at the same time, I think it helps your career and it benefits you in the long run when you look back and like, oh, okay, I'm glad that John cut me.
Yeah, you get re-energized. Orlando, because Orlando played with CJ and knows him really well. Orlando's continually talked about how he notices a difference in CJ coming off the field with the Rams than he did with the Broncos. With the Broncos, he felt he was tapping his helmet a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't talking to the O-line. Said he's not doing that in L.A.
Right.
So it did. The change of sceneries really turned him into probably the best story of the NFL in the last few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. And you've been humbled, right? I mean, you're a guy that got cut by three teams in less than a year.
Wow.
So, you know, you've been humbled. You come to appreciate, like, and they're showing the Todd Gurley, C.J. Anderson.
Oh, they're talking about
it. Yeah, they're talking about Todd Gurley. Four rushes, 10 yards.
Todd in the
four edit. Rushes.
And they won.
Right, and they won. But, you know, so he was cut by three teams in less than a year. So that humbles you and that lets you know, man, this is – and you're sitting on your couch for much of this season. And you never thought you'd be in that situation. And now all of a sudden you get an opportunity with a really good football team. Man, you're going to take advantage of it. And you're going to appreciate every moment out there and appreciate the guys around you. And that's what you see from CJ, which is nice.
Yeah, CJ's been...
He's been unbelievable.
I'm so happy with how CJ's doing. And we're looking at that. I just can't believe Todd Gurley's stat line.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I really don't. Not sure what the situation is there.
But with John, none of the competitiveness in him is sitting back hoping I made the right, like... I
if I put myself in his situation, I'd be like, no, I don't really, I'd pull for those guys. I hope they do well. It's no sweat on my back because I know I made the right moves. And I think in both of those situations, I'm getting called out on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We got a fifth for a top tier cornerback, Stokely. Elway messed up with Tlaib. Stokely is wrong as bleep, 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 bleep.
Again, though, what would the Broncos have done with him?
Right. What would he have done here for this past year?
Nothing.
So you got rid of the money you have to pay him, $11 million, I think it was, something like that.
It was a lot of money.
And you got a fifth rounder, if you're right, then great. I mean, look, it was just time to move on. And you got to remember, Keith didn't stay healthy all year. He missed most of the year.
Yeah.
With the Rams. So, no, and he's not a top-tier cornerback anymore. He's not. He's a good, solid cornerback, yes, but he's on the downside of his career, and he's not a top-five corner.
He would have been number two to Chris Harris Jr. this year.
Right.
I think Harris would have been bumped up to one.
He wasn't a top-ten corner this year because he didn't play a lot. I mean, how many games did he play? Six?
He played five?
I mean,
we played them week five, and he had already been out at least two games, I think. So he missed, and if you don't think a fifth-round pick, I think the Broncos got Malik Jackson in the fifth round years ago, and everybody's always mad that we didn't keep him. So you can take that fifth-round pick, and you can turn it into something. It's not – let the pick play out before you hate the trade.
Right, and even if the pick doesn't play out. It's fine. And so I think John looks at the situation and say, I made the right decisions there. Now with Wade, that's the one that I still get hung up on. And if you're John, you're probably regretting that one.
Yeah. And that's going to come with everything he does. He's been prior to letting Wade go and bringing in Vance, he had been right about John Fox. He had been right about letting John Fox go. He'd been right about bringing Gary in. He'd been right about bringing Wade in. He was right to hire Dennis Allen in 2011. He hadn't made a bad coaching decision prior to letting Wade go. I think there was a reason for John to feel confident in that.
No, I mean, you make valid points there.
You getting ripped on the text line still?
Of course.
It's Tlaib. The other thing with Tlaib too is he would not have been happy losing.
Right. That's right.
He would have been disruptive.
How was he the last year he was here? I mean, he checked out week 17. Do you remember him against the Kansas City Chiefs?
No.
Not one to tackle?
Because there was nothing to remember.
Right. and then tapping out. So you saw where that was going. And Aqib doesn't do good in that type of locker room when you're losing and you got a lot of other stuff going on. So it was best. You're exactly right. That's another good point on why you needed to move on from Tlaib. Now, he's great in the Rams locker room. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah.
He was great here. You know, when they were winning, they were going to Super Bowls. But things changed and it was best to move on.
They needed to get out of there. So the Chiefs blew it again next year. What's next for them, and how does that affect the Broncos next?
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.